hackers to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. The CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs,
RAM. Hello and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode number 140 for March 21st, 2006. I'm Strom Carlson.
I'm Black Ratchet, and with us this evening, we have two guests. Not so just fresh in from their interzone trip, but, you know, hey, they had a week off, whatever. We have Droops.
Hey, buddy.
And we have Dr. Zygmunt.
And we have Dr. Zygmunt.
How's it going?
Yes. Dr. Zygmunt, how's it going? You didn't say anything.
Oh, it's definitely going well over on this side. It's always a pleasure to get a chance to join everybody on the radio show once again with three distinguished other individuals tonight. Very lucky for our audience.
And we were having a discussion earlier. This is your first live show where you're actually on the show.
That is true. There was that brief stunt that Strom put me on the spot during the Valentine's Day show. So everybody got to hear me doing my lame, what do I say whenever anybody calls? Binary Revolution Radio, this is Dr. Zygmunt. Do you have a question for Black Ratchet, Strom Carlson, and the rest of the crew tonight? Right on the radio. So, you know,
really?
And he's like, we're
going
to get you a girlfriend. I'm like, great, thanks. With a line like that. Yeah, I actually say that. Are you kidding me?
You answer the phone like that?
Yeah, man, totally. Strom always likes to test me. He loves that. He'll call halfway through. Oh, I just want to make sure it was working. He loves
to
hear it.
Wow, I didn't actually... That's amazing. We actually sound like we know what we're doing, which is just absolutely, completely, and totally false.
Oh, God, I'll get into that in the hacking stories, Christ.
We're the Bin Rev Radio crew. Look at that.
Yeah.
We're cool. Droops, how are you this fine evening?
Well, I am doing spectacularly well.
Huh.
As in, I slept all day, and I just woke up.
Brilliant.
You keep very odd hours.
Well, I try.
Do you actually do hard work? I guess. Do you actually do that on purpose, or do you actually just sleep very odd hours? Are we actually just, like, you know, catching you on the right phase right now, or are you actually supposed to stay up and sleep during the day?
I predict 3 a.m. is what for Droops right now.
Yeah, I don't really know. I just kind of sleep when I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time.
But you're like, who is it? Pete Greenblatt from MIT, one of the old school hackers. He used to be able to stay up 36 hours in a row and completely fall out, like, you know, 12 hours out of sync every time he stayed up. So
when people hours by now.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Well, it was amusing because, like, go ahead.
We should all, has anybody ever tried that polyphasic sleep? You know, where every 4 hours you sleep for half an hour.
Yeah, right.
No, that's
no way. I'd like
thing.
Die.
People are totally doing.
Oh no, I heard of that.
That just for that half hour you're in REM sleep, so it's all you need. And think of all the extra time you would have. I mean, granted, you wouldn't be able to leave your house for more than 4 hours at a time, but, you know, that's a small price to pay to be able to hack the Gibson all day long.
I actually do tend to revert to that sometimes. I'll sleep like a couple hours, wake up, go for maybe five hours, go back to sleep for a few hours, wake up, go another 5 hours. You know, it's okay sometimes, but I don't think I could do it long term.
Yeah.
Well, is it that, I mean, it's just, you just need to, like, fall into, what is it, the... I mean, it's an extreme example of that with the whole polyphasic sleep thing, but with... what do they call it? Where if you
vampire
just, like, time your sleeping... Well, no, you time your sleep correctly, where if you, like, always, because your sleep cycle, for those of you who don't know, I don't know how the hell we got on this topic. Damn you, Droops. Your sleep cycle, for you don't know, you only, like, get rested in, like, you know, a small portion of your sleep, and to go through, like, you know, you go through a stage where you're asleep, but you're not actually resting, and then you go through a dream state, and then you go through the state where you're actually recharging your batteries, theoretically, and that's called REM. And once REM stops, the cycle starts again. And the entire cycle takes about 90 minutes to complete, and if you are able to pop out of your sleep cycle right at the straight time, like right after REM sleep kicks out and right before your next cycle begins, you feel incredibly refreshed.
That's why you always feel really good when you wake up in the middle of dreams, because you're kind of you're waking up naturally at the end of the REM cycle, and it's awesome.
Yes, exactly. Like, I remember, I mean, I know, like, a couple of times where I've only got, like, an hour and a half of sleep, and I'm just, like, when I wake up, I'm just, like, amazingly refreshed. I'm like, ooh, okay, looks like I timed that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Yeah, my wife and I experimented with that, and we took little naps all throughout the day, and it found that it wasn't really helping, but we were actually, getting carbon monoxide poisoning. That was what was causing it. So, didn't really work out as well as we thought.
So now you have a carbon monoxide detector in your house?
Yes, yes.
Is it a canary?
When you lay down on your kitchen floor, and then, like, your girlfriend comes by, and she's like, that's odd, and then lays down beside you and thinks that's a good idea, you should probably check the carbon monoxide levels in your house.
Oh, this is a girlfriend time. She wasn't quite stuck with you yet?
Yeah, yeah. It was back when she was free.
Oh, I could have had her. Oh.
Yeah, don't let your fiancé hear this one.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
This is true. I've actually come to the conclusion that I should no longer refer to you as Droops. I should refer to you as Mrs. Droops' husband. I just think everyone knows it a whole lot better.
Or Mr. Claire Huxtable.
Mr. Claire Huxtable.
You have to fear the Claire.
Claire. Just make sure nobody mixes it up with any Claire.
A.
Yeah.
You got a leap high.
So
okay. So we are live tonight. Just in case you didn't know, actually, for some reason, I decided to be evil and right on the before we came on the show, I logged into the IRC channel and said, "Sorry guys, there's no show tonight. You guys are all being dicks, and I'm not rewarding you with a show." And everyone's like, "What? What did we do?" And I was just like, "God, you're all owned." I don't even know what the heck, like, came over me and why I did that, but I don't know. I had, like, two or three people believing me.
Oh, now you know how I feel half the time in the IRC channel.
Yeah, that's what I always do. I just, like, you know, IRC is just this weird thing.
Yeah.
So I guess we are kind of taking call-ins. We're not, apparently our completely wonderful receptionist there, Dr. Zygmunt, isn't going to be answering the phones with his trademark saying.
But if you call 888-9-BIN-REV and you wait in the queue, I might drop out while the three are going at it to pick you up. So,
the three of us are going at it. That just sounds bad.
You've got a far dirtier mind than I do, Ratchet. Seriously.
Yeah, we're gonna have a little three-way on BIN-REV Radio.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah.
It's funny, the one person who's excluded from it.
Yeah, I know. The one Strom would actually probably enjoy that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I was listening to the old shows. Actually, a friend of mine was listening to the old shows, and he made a comment that you say the word lube far too much.
That was stank. You know, other than, like, the last three shows, I've said the word lube at least once.
Oh, okay, so it was stank? I couldn't remember who it was.
Yeah, it was stank.
Yeah, you say lube far too much, and I was listening to the show, you really do. So I think you should apologize to the audience or something.
I'm sorry, audience, for making you think of slippery, wet things.
That just went from bad to worse right there.
Well, you asked me to apologize, so I did.
I guess so.
What's wrong with
lube?
Nothing's wrong with lube.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
WD-40?
Exactly.
WD-40. Ooh, that's just
for the industrial lube.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that stuff comes with a little straw too, so you can always apply it in the right spot.
We're just going. We actually went from bad to worse right here. We have a UK call-in, and allegedly it still works. We're actually going to set up a real, honest-to-goodness, officially direct-to-our-servers UK call-in. I think, actually, a couple of people this week, the person I do remember was Nightlord, requested that we set up an FWT number, so...
Yeah, that'll be easy to do. I can take care of it.
Yeah, the two people, too bad they came up to me today and said, hey, you should really do this, and I said, well, I don't think we have time. And, because we were doing other things. But our UK call-in, 0845-646-0102. Maybe next week. Yes, God save the Queen. Actually, when we get a UK call-in number, we should play, some Sex Pistols right before it connects to the bridge.
Is there, an official Queen song?
Well, there's God Save the Queen. There's what's the name of that song? Goes da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Flat Bottom Girls.
Oh,
yeah, I know what you're talking about. what's that called? Oh, I don't know. You know, it's the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, the very regal-sounding thing that's like...
Imperial
it's
March.
It's a movie cliche that you must show a shot of London and play that song if you're introducing a scene in London.
It makes me think of what movie was John Goodman in, where he was the King
Ralph!
King
that's
Ralph.
What it. That's a classic movie right there. If there ever was a good movie.
I fear
movie.
King Ralph.
God, it's been years since I've seen that one.
It's on TNT all the time.
Yeah, well, I don't own a TV set.
Neither do I. What's your point?
Yeah. So for all you two, as Teoxy said, for all those UK callers waiting up till 2:30 a.m. to listen to the show, that's your phone number. Call right in. Or if our crazy German caller from a German listener from a couple of weeks ago wants to try the UK number, feel free.
Achtung,
Achtung. So. Achtung, Achtung, ein Lichtenspok, dein.
That's Achtung, you norks.
Whatever.
Oh, well, sorry. The Jewish kid got it wrong.
Yeah, the Michigan Jewish kids, they can't speak German.
Oh, man, I can really say just, so many bad things right there, but I'm not going to, because it'll just be detrimental to both parties involved. I don't know, do we have any other housekeeping things we want to talk about tonight? I don't think so.
Not that I can think of.
Our topic tonight is Interzone. We're going to have a sort of an Interzone wrap-up. So if you do have Interzone stories, just call in and just wait for the hold and wait for... Strom to come sweep you up and bring you onto the bridge and be enlightened.
I'll sweep you off your feet.
Yeah. Shall we go into the email?
Yeah, let's do some emails. What was the version you suggested, Zygmunt?
Of the radio song?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
What was it?
It was definitely us singing it, though.
Droops is a noob at gmail.com or something like that.
Something like that.
I wonder if Droops is a...
Yeah, that was funny. I like that.
Yeah, we should get Droops is a noob at gmail.com and just use it.
With a space in it, because Gmail loves spaces.
Yeah.
What happened with that? Wasn't there some bug with Gmail?
Oh, the
where
dot.
You had a space in your name.
It was the dot.
Oh, it's the dot.
Was it the dot?
Yeah, it's the dot. It doesn't differentiate. I've got stromcarlson@gmail.com, but if you send strom.carlson@gmail.com, it also comes to my inbox.
Well, we could call that the selection operator, so we could all feel like we were important.
Woot. So since we just played the email theme, we probably should read some email, eh?
Really? We're talking about email, and I figured that's what the email needs.
Yeah, go read email. First email is from someone named Mark. He says, hi, I'm creating a birthday calendar for myself. Can you please click on the link below and enter your birthday for me? Don't worry, it's quick, and you don't have to enter your year of birth. It's tinyurl.com. You're the phonetic alphabet person.
tinyurl.com/FoxNovember65Julian. Thanks, Mark. So this just popped into, and I actually thought it was a spam for a while, but I guess not. I mean, I didn't actually sort of check out that link. Actually, I should have checked out that link before we gave it over the air, shouldn't we have? In case it was spam. But I believe Mark's actually sent us email before.
Yeah, look,
if you remember
me.
Yeah, if you send out, a couple of weeks ago, how we were talking about someone who was you know, sending us forwarding. I think that was Mark as well. So we decided to sort of, you know, give it out over the air there. And Tiny, you just go out and give your birthday to Mark, and I guess he'll send you lots of gifts or something. So,
hey, Black Ratchet, what's your birthday?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
Nobody knows my birthday. I tell. Well, actually, I think it's on the. I think it's on the forum. I think I got drunk one night and put it on there.
It's probably in your Who Is information.
Along with my Social Security number, my phone number, and
let me drop my
mother's
real
maiden
quick.
Name.
That's discussion.
Yeah.
Paying extra money for a domain. Let's not go there.
Yeah, that's annoying. What was it? I was actually just like sort of off topic, but it's kind of on topic. But talking about, like, you know, mother's maiden names and everything and email, it was on SANS, the Internet Storm Center, SANS, irc.sans.org, and they were doing this phishing email, and it was a phishing email sent to somebody, and it had all of his information. It's sort of like, you know, John Doe, 123 Main Street, Anytown, USA, and it was like everything was like matched up correctly. And if you went to the phishing site, it actually it like kept track of you. It passed the session variable over to it, and like it got everything on you. It was asking you, oh, your mother's maiden name, and, you know, Social Security number, and it was creepy. I mean,
that's scary.
I'd be amazed. Yeah, I'd be amazed if, like, I got an email from a Fisher saying, like, you know, oh, this is, you know, all your docs. Haha, we know it.
Well, and not really, like, that, you know, if you really think about it, it's just a database with a bunch of your information in it. And if you were to really get down to it, let's think about it. How hard would it be for somebody to listen to all of the radio shows and pick up the tidbits that you dropped and check out?
Don't
the
tell them this.
This is gonna be the next thing. You're gonna get emails. All day long.
I'm going to have the Strom Carlson fan club at my front door in 2 weeks now, thanks to you.
No, what the scary part was, I mean, for me, yeah, I guess I kind of like, you know, a public internet celebrity, I guess. But, I mean, this was just a random Fisher, and it probably sent out, like, you know, 1,000 or 2 emails, and it had all of these, you know, had all of these people's docs on them. And it was just like, whoa, no thank you. And, I mean, I know all this stuff is logged and everything, but at the same point, it's just... Wow, I mean, I don't want... No, it's kind of scary that Fishers have all this information. Where's Lance James? Let's get him back on the show.
I'll have to get him back.
Oh, my God. What's up with all these, you know, fishing noobs? So, anyway, have we all added our birthdays to Mark Calendar yet?
I got sick of responding to all the fancy-pants questions about, can we interest you in this? In this? Are you sure about that? No? Really? No! Seriously, click this! So I didn't go all the way through, and I'm not sure whether my birthday's up there yet.
I didn't get any of that.
Would you like the streaming home privacy invasion cam?
What's you the
cam. Yeah, the wizard, the WWWYZZRD. It is I, the wizard.
Buffering.
All right, our next email is from Hantu.
Hantu, yeah. Han isn't so... Or Hantu. Han isn't solo, two isn't two. Strom and Ratchet. So I'm getting a cup of coffee in my local very large bookstore, BNN, near my place of work at lunch, and what do I see on the magazine rack near the checkout? Blacklisted 411 magazine. I was amazed. This is the first time I've seen it on the shelf, and hoping there will be more issues to come. I'm also hoping that my fellow listeners will go out and grab a copy. If people don't buy it, the bookstore won't keep carrying it, since the crew at Blacklisted 401 pay folks to write articles. It's also a good way to support the hacking community at large, including Stank, who has an article in there this time around. Rock on, Hantu!
I actually think I deleted the second part of that email. Oh, well.
Yeah,
sorry, Hantu.
Yeah, your note says Strom, and I'm just like, what's specific about this?
Yeah. Yeah, he actually offered Strom to take pictures of the Stromberg Carlson factory.
Well,
hey,
hang
New
on,
York.
just a second here. I can pull it up from our wonderful email client.
Yeah, I probably copied
it up,
and pasted.
Blacklist has been on the racks for quite a while now. Definitely, at least a couple of months. I know they've been working pretty hard to try to get their readership out. It'd be nice. I mean, usually, I don't want to. I would never say anything bad about Blacklisted, but there's always at least a couple of really good articles in it, and then it almost seems like a little bit of fluff. but there's always it's always worth picking up.
Oh yeah.
And the same thing with 2600. You know, there's always like one or two really great articles, and the rest are like, eh.
Yeah.
But the Blacklist
yeah,
has
I mean,
been on the shelves for a while.
The Blacklist guys are based out of Southern California here, and they're really awesome people. Yeah, here's the second half of the email. It says, Strom, I live in Rochester, New York, and I've been meaning to send you photos of the Stromberg-Carlson building, which is approximately 2 miles from my house. If you'd like photos of the building, let me know what address you would like them sent to. I thought you might like to see the brick-and-mortar version of your namesake. Send us an email or let me know over the air where I can send you pics if you're interested. Rock on, Hantu. So, yeah, Hantu, just send them on over to stromcarlson@gmail.com. Go to my website, and there's the email address right on the front there.
Or send them to P.O. Box.
Yeah, send them to Post Office Box.
Well.
291-991
General Delivery, Southern California.
Yeah, General Delivery, Southern California. Sir, you have to come all the way to the downtown building on Vigna Street? What? No.
Blacklisted 41's okay. Personally, I let my subscription lapse because I just they had odd things with one of their issues, and I just looked at it as, you know, I'll pick it up when it comes out onto my bookshelf. But, like, I saw Blacklisted, like, in DEF CON 12, yeah. 12? Yes. DEF CON 12, I mean, they had in the vendor room, they had a table set up, and it was like, Blacklisted 411, you know, we're starting back up, blah, 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 blah. And I said, wow, look at that, a Southern California hacking zine. And I said, oh, God, I'll never see this in Boston. I'll go give them, like, it was like $20 for a year subscription. I said, oh, I'll go plunk down $20 for that, you know. I opted to do that rather than give it to the EFF, so, mm-hmm. Oh, well. and, you know, I subscribe to it, and, like, they say, okay, well, we'll get the magazine, I mean, here's all your old magazines, so we'll start your subscription out, and we probably won't get it out to you in, you know, a couple of months. And I said, okay, that's fine. And, you know, sure as shooting, like, 2 months later, comes in the mail, and it was actually very odd to get an email package listed to Black Ratchet, and I was like, what? Oh, okay, yeah. So I get up, and I was like, okay, this is pretty good. And sure enough, like a couple of days later, I'm in Borders, which is right across from my work, like a block away. And I look at the right next to 2600, and sure enough, there's Blacklisted 411. And I was like, what?
Wow, are they actually playing them right next to each other?
Oh, yeah, no, right next to each other.
Cool.
It's pretty sweet.
Blacklisted's nice because it has a nice variety of things. It's not all really hardcore technology and computers. They always have. I think the last article I read, the one that I got from DEF CON had one from a girl who was married to a hacker, and it's another perspective on the. Well, she's married, man. What good can she be now? She's already taken. But granted, she's probably going to hear this show and now going to hate me. But I liked your article. It was good. But I think it's always nice to get more than one perspective, especially if you can get it in one periodical. You know, the more people that the more viewpoints and et cetera, you can get from one source is always a good thing.
I'm sure my fiance doesn't like the fact that, and I know for a fact my fiance does not like the fact that I leave every Tuesday night to do the radio show. She just goes like, you're doing your stupid radio show again, aren't you? Yeah. Oh, okay. She finds it amusing.
Okay, we talk about
her then? I guess we can talk about her. I don't know. I mean, she'll probably be coming to me with me to Hope.
Sweet.
Yes.
We get to meet the future Mrs. Ratchet.
Well, at that point, she will be Mrs. Ratchet.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, now I feel bad for you.
What, and I haven't gotten a wedding invitation yet? Jeez.
No wedding invitations. No wedding invitation for everybody. We're going to get married
on the
like an underground cave.
Ah, so you're into that
actually,
stuff.
Actually, we did get married. We did meet over the internet. I was the pioneer that, you know, we did the whole online meeting thing. And for the longest time, we actually never talked about that. No. It was AOL Love or whatever. Love at AOL or something.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
oh, man. Did you get that at AOL?
No, it's amazing.
It's worth that $25 a month.
Well, this was when they were like 12 or something. Or
this
like,
was when they
like,
also had a modicum of
decency. When they were hourly.
No. It was after hourly. I do remember that. Do you remember, like, CompuServe?
I remember CompuServe. I remember. I remember.
Do you remember when CompuServe came up with WoW?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I was a WoW member. I have a t-shirt that says WoW. When they canceled the service, I realized how dumb it was.
Yeah, no, I remember, seriously, before that, I remember getting the AOL floppy disk in the mail, right? And it was 10 free hours of online service, and I was so totally, you know, psyched about it, but I was so scared of spending more money than the 10 free hours that I literally had this logbook that I would manually log my log-on and log-off times and tabulate how much time I had left.
What was it? Wasn't it like $3 an hour after
it was
that?
Some absolutely ridiculous amount of money.
It was like, you know, you got like X amount of free hours, and then, but if you went into like, you know, certain areas, you would like, you know, start getting charged extra, and that's
right.
What killed CompuServe for my parents, because I used to hang out in the chat rooms all the time, and they used to be like, you know, $1 an hour, and I would be like, chat rooms.
Way back in the day, well, it was nice. They had that little bug with the members help screen, because I used to play Federation. That was the best game on AOL. But if you were to go into their little help area where they don't charge you, your characters would still stay online in any of the online games, but you wouldn't be charged
yep.
at the time.
Well, that's what AOL did. God, AOL, I remember that. It would basically, you know, you'd get in the members only or whatever it is, and then you'd bring up another screen in one of the free areas, and it would like signal back to the application, hey, this person's over here, don't charge them, don't pay attention to the fact that I have all these other windows open. So that was
like being able to have people say other things in channel, and it looks like not channel, I guess they were AOL chat rooms. You know how you could make somebody else as if they'd say something.
Yeah.
That.
Oh,
no, I do remember that.
That was classic.
Good old
talk
time.
Talk about skiddy tools. I was probably, what, like 9?
Yeah, God, that
was probably like
1994 or 5 or something.
I guess I was like 9.
God, yeah, I must have been 11.
14, 13, thereabouts. Either way.
Good times.
Our next email is from Trem.
Yeah, and Trem says, I have a question. How does SSH send a cipher key to the connected client? Couldn't you then just sniff for it, making SSH unsecure? Much love, Trem.
Well, we're going to sort of give a gloss right over it. I actually think I mentioned the book like last week. It was last week or the week before, Crypto by Stephen Levy. And it explains how RSA and SSH and public key cryptography works. And this is going to be a very crash course for it. When you actually break it down, SSH has 4 cipher keys. And I'm probably going to get this wrong, and if I do get it wrong, I apologize in advance. But Teoxy is just like, you know, sitting there listening to the stream going, oh, he's going to screw this up, but I'm going to blame base him in IRC tomorrow. SSH basically has 4 keys. Each side has something called a public key and a private key. Now, when one side wants to encode something over to the other side, it encodes it with the other side's public key. Now, once it's encoded, the only thing that can decode it is that other person's private key, hopefully, that we know of. I mean, we're not going to, like, say this. Right now, the only thing that should be able to code is the other side's private key.
Another key in there as well, something that's called the K key, and that is a random key that's used for each session so that you do not have, so that you have better forward secrecy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to get into that, actually. Now, when we're talking... You covered it, so it wasn't a big deal. So what this basically is something called asymmetric, which is public and private key. Now, this is different than symmetric encryption. What symmetric encryption is like, you know, say I want to send a secret message over to Dr. Zygmunt, and basically we're 13, we're in junior high, and we're like, Rod 13. Yeah, that's what Rod 13 is. It's a symmetric encryption. As in, each letter means something else, and all you need to know is that super secret encryption key to decode it, and that's
actually
easily sniffable because...
Symmetric encryption is that the same key is used, I believe, to encrypt it and decrypt it.
Yes, exactly. Didn't I just say that?
Oh, I thought you were saying something else. Perhaps
I was wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm sort of just like bumbling over it. So yes, but that's what symmetric means. The same key is used to encrypt and decrypt. So the problem is that if you sniff that key, much like you were talking about before, everything is insecure because you can decrypt everything. Now with the public and the public key you can send to everybody. And your private key is the one you want to keep under, you know, lock and key, because if someone gets your private key, everything that's sent to you encoded with your private key, the attacking party can also decode because they know your private key.
They can also sign things as if they were from you.
Exactly. We weren't going to get into that, but thank you. Yes,
and of course,
what it is.
Teoxy wants us to, as he says verbatim, in all capital letters, mind you, you better mention the cashing of the host key, bitch.
Yes, I thank you very much. I know.
Is that what that little warning means, where I just always click yes?
Yeah, you know, the little bullet I have right below again that says man in the middle warning? Yes, look at that. Now, initially when you connect up to a SSH session and you don't know the other person's private key, it says this person has this public – I'm sorry, did I say public or private?
You said private.
When you first connect up to – I'm sorry. When you first connect up to an SSH session, you don't know the other person's public key. But SSH takes care of this for you, and it prompts you, hey, I don't know this host. This is the person's public key, and it gives you, like, this little alphabet soup of letters and hex. And it says, do you want me to remember this? So, basically, if you, I mean, most people just say yes. But, like, you know, if you're smart, you actually make sure that that is that person's public key, or that's that computer's public key. I have my public key for my two computers that I, you know, use a lot from other various other workstations memorized. I know I actually sat down and memorized it. So I can quickly look at it and say, you know, oh, yeah, that's my public key. I know that one. If it comes back something different, something fishy's up. Once you say, yes, that's the person's public key, you know, accept it, it saves it locally to your computer. So say, for example, if someone's trying to sniff it and you have it and they try to give you a different public key, you get this giant warning on your computer saying, you know, something fishy is going on. This person's public key has changed. Like, for example, I reinstalled one of my computers and the public key changed because it was, you know, private on my LAN. No one was going to connect to it besides me. When I reconnected to it, it remembered its old public key, but it actually gave my SSH client a new public key. So, you know, I got this, you know, giant warning saying, you know, something fishy is going on, the public key has changed. But I said, yeah, that's fine. I know that because I reinstalled it, you know, accept the new public key, remember that one. You know, for example, but if, like, one of my other public key changed and I didn't do anything to it, something weird's going on and probably someone's trying to own me. So I hope that meets, you know, Teoxy approval there. It gets a little seal right there.
It's a stamp of approval.
Boink! The stamp of approval, yes.
I'll just inject that's a really good book on cryptography if it's somebody that somebody's interested in. It's a little dated, but it's still an excellent resource. It's Applied Cryptography by, I believe it's Bruce Spencer. And he does not only an excellent job of talking about each individual form of encryption and secrecy, but also how it's been compromised and all that interesting stuff there. So there's a free plug for Applied Cryptography. It's a great book. It's kind of expensive, but it's still a very good book.
And I'm going to just sort of toss it out there I'm going to toss it out there, Stephen Levy, Crypto. It's a pretty good book. It's not as technical, but it gives you a nice history of cryptography and how everything ran around. You actually get to learn all the alphabet soup sitting out there, like, you know, DES and RSA and PGP and all that crazy stuff.
Oh, just like Hacksaws.
Exactly.
The X-rated, wow, what a classic video that is. I don't think we should get into that either.
All right, I'll actually go read our next email. It's from Battery Man. And it's a very good email. I just wanted to toss it out here just to give everyone the infos. AM gives you more range since the signal strength is higher than FM. Here's the best transmitter for the job. /part15.us/node/692. How about doing pirate radio on Wi-Fi at 1 watt? Set up several streams and make the SSID something like, quote, pirate radio 192.168.2.10:8000.
Those are hyphens, not dots.
Oh, whatever. I'm sort of, my eyes are going anyway.
Oh, Christ.
Check out this Channel 6 TV Spectrum for FM broadcast page. http://lpfm.ws, I did read that right, /news/channel6.php. Why is Channel 6 better for FM radio? The main reason is desirability of the channel to be used for DTV. In many markets, since there are so many VHF stations on the dial. The only place where transition stations could be placed is the UHF spectrum. Since these stations already have big investment into their DTV facilities on UHF, it would not make a lot of sense to completely remove their DTV facilities on UHF and build new DTV facilities on VHF. Also, due to propagation characteristics on the low-band VHF channels, TV channels 2 through 6, DTV is not desirable on these channels due to its lack of tolerance to noise, etc. Also, if the broadcaster decides to move their DTV facilities to VHF while competing stations in America are on UHF, it puts VHF DTV stations at a competitive disadvantage. DTV Channel 6 stations will be required to protect their non-commercial educational FM operating stations. Stations operating on 82 to 92 FM because of this requirement. The FCC did not allocate DTV Channel 6 to many communities. The most important reason is that 30 FM channels would be created out of Channel 6 spectrum, could hold a potential of thousands of new non-commercial community broadcast stations versus a small number of full-power and low-power TV stations. Here's the best broadcast query sheet for radio and FM TV. www.recnet.com/charlie-delta-bravo-sierra/foxtrot-mike-quebec.php. And find a spot on the dial with a Sandy Slate, and it's the same URL. Oh, sorry. Same URL with the exception of the last part, which is limapapa-foxmike.php. Battery Man. And I sort of read out the whole email there, but if you go to that first URL I gave, second URL I gave, it's a very interesting thing on Channel 6 digital TV and low-power FM. And actually, for those of you who don't know, we're actually no longer being broadcast on the FM dial. Evil Deshi retired his pirate radio station, which I actually found very sad, but he did manage to get his ham radio license, and he just decided, you know, since I was actually officially licensed by the FCC, that he would wash his hands, as it were, of the pirate radio scene, which, personally, I think is pretty safe.
Okay.
Actually, yeah. Well, he just emailed me today, saying, you know, oh, you know, we're not going to do. I just got my license. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm like, oh, well, whatever.
Did you have to modulate this?
And modulate this, biatch. Droops, did you die on us?
Yeah, Droops fell off. I'm trying to get him back.
Oh, that's so sad. I was wondering why the heck he wasn't talking.
Come back!
Droops! No! Anyway, Dr. Zygmunt, since you actually, I've never seen you include this in your notes with your personal hacking stories, but you have something labeled here, Web Crawler Goodness.
Oh, Web Crawler Goodness. This is, everybody's been hearing me talk about this stupid search engine for fucking ever. For frickin' ever. And
we're not on the radio anymore. Say fuck all you want. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Fuck, 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 fuck.
Oh, in that case, I don't see what the big fucking deal is. But it's the crawler back end for my search engine. Well, you know, long story short, it was working, and it was working pretty well, except for there was a bug in it somewhere that it just kept coming down. It would only run for about 15, 20 minutes, and then it would crash. It was tough to find out exactly what the problem was because, you know, I'd be running 30-some-odd instances of forked processes, and to try to debug that, you know, it's just not fun. So I ended up starting to rewrite it from scratch using all the things that I've learned in recent days. Probably the latest thing that I got done was a really cool way in C to process a robots.txt file, which is the robots exclusion protocol. Perl has a couple of really good modules for it, but nobody really had anything for C. So I'm thinking I might make this, maybe not the entire robot, but definitely at least the robot exclusion part, into a little module, not a module, but a little bit of a header file so that people could use it. But, it's nice and fast, it works for Unix, and it comes with a little reaper who makes sure that, none of the, robot files are older than a week or so old. It's pretty cool, and, I hope to finally finish this crawler by the end of the week, and then when that's done, I'm going to try to probably announce the actual site of the search engine so that people can check it out and break it and let me know how they did it so they can fix it. There's a whole bunch of bugs, or not bugs, features hidden all over the site for people to check out and find. So that should be pretty cool when it's coming up.
Really crash Dr. Zygmunt's bot by clicking the wrong link. Woo!
Yeah, actually, I don't really think you can do much against the bot, and that's always been an interesting question of, like, maybe if we found a vulnerability in Google's bot that we could build it into an HTML, into a web page, and when it crawled it, something would happen. And I would love to see somebody do that. I would love to see it happen, but it's such, I don't know, I mean, that would be a tough one. Definitely.
Well, I mean, I forget what the term they use for it is, but, I mean, technically, there is a vulnerability out there. Well, sort of. It was a vulnerability with Google search engine. I mean, all these people, what they would do is when... Oh, shoot, what is it? When they see...
Google bombing?
Basically, they basically... Yeah, well, it wasn't Google bombing, but, if you're trying to, raise your listing up, what you would do is you'd basically include a nice little if statement in right before your page saying, if this is a normal user coming to see my site, give them the real site. If it's not a normal user and it's Googlebot, make my site look like it has all these crazy-ass words on it so it makes my site index look better.
Interesting.
I forget what
a million different strategies in the whole how to get good rankings in Google, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
But, I think there's only a handful of people who really know how it works, like, for sure. And I would love to see, like, all the speculation we have, but at the end of the day, sometimes I'm absolutely astounded with some of the sites that are number one. That it just doesn't look like the site's not a quality site. They don't have a lot of links on it. You would think that it wouldn't be a high site. So, every now and then when somebody has the perfect theory of how the Googlebot works, it totally gets shot out of the water.
Well, I know for a fact that one of the ways it works is that you can, it measures how much certain phrases are linked to a specific page. So remember the thing where people Google bombed the page for George W. Bush when people Google for miserable failure?
Oh, yes. Was that George Bush?
Yeah,
that's
George Bush.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Google bomb, the original Google bomb.
That's the original one, yeah.
No. It actually varies. Depending on when you do it or how it updates the statistics, you occasionally get Michael Moore.
Oh, will you? Okay. I think that's more recent, though. I remember the Bush thing being around much long before Michael Moore started becoming, Mr. Bitch-a-lot.
Well, what else is interesting about Google is their results are actually different. If you give the same search query different times, like a perfect example that you could test is if you use Tor, you'll get actually into other countries, different languages, so of course that's different. But, I guess that's almost an indication that they don't have a centralized database and that each entity of Google is a little different. So I always thought that was interesting that, maybe if you can't find a result in English, it never hurts to go check out another language.
Mm-hmm. Well,
or not even another language, just another location.
It's not even just different languages. It's everything. I mean, for example, I think I was running the 1.5 beta on my desktop at work, and on my laptop, I was still running the 1.5 Firefox beta. And on my laptop, I was running 106 stable, like back in the day or whatever it was. And I ran the query on Firefox on my desktop, and I got the link that I wanted. And I said, okay, let me go search for that on my laptop because I actually wanted to install the software on this one. And it was the January community technology preview for Microsoft Expression Designer or something like that. So I Googled it on my laptop, and I found it. It's like, CTP preview for, Microsoft Expression. And I click on it, and it's that, and it's the old one. And I was like, wait a minute, I searched for the same exact thing. Why am I getting the old one? And
I wonder if that's more of a load balancing thing or if it's actually not a centralized database.
It might be a load balancing thing, personally.
Be load balancing.
I'd be curious to know more about that. There's actually a really good conference that goes on once a year in New York, and I didn't get to go to it this year. But they talk a lot about marketing of search engines, but they also talk a lot about the technicalities of how ranking should work. What's great, what's best from like a business person's point of view. It's not really geared too much towards the computer user, but they do get into some technical details. The name of it slips my mind, but anybody who's interested in that sort of thing, I guess you could Google for it or use your search engine of choice.
I was actually going to go for that, but instead I opted to go for the Nigerian 419 Scammer Conference down in Africa this year.
Oh, sweet.
I'll head
off
for that next month. Where is it again? Zimbabwe? Or Botswana?
Zimbabwe this year.
Oh, okay.
You
want
to take my check down there and deliver it to the guy? Because he's going to be sending me a whole bunch of money through my bank account. I get to keep 10% of it.
Oh, really? So you know Mamaluke too?
Who doesn't?
My good friend, Mamaluke Abubade.
Yeah, he's a good friend of everybody, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah, me. Hello, good friend. How are you today? You don't know me, but...
Well, I have $30 million.
Yes, and I want
like to
give you.
You.
And I selected you. Yes, you!
Because I have your email address.
Actually,
I
found
all those nights that I wasted on those porn sites. Don't subscribe to that. It's a spam list. Obviously not, if I'm making $30 million.
Exactly.
You got to have a good head on your shoulders to be reasonable about these things, you know?
All I had to do was send him my bank account number.
Yeah, where's the harm in that? I mean, perfect.
He can have it. It's negative, so, you know, have fun. Maybe he'll actually have to pay money into it.
What, there's like one website where the guy just basically owns 419 scammers. That's what he does. And he posts all the accounts.
Scam baiting?
I forget what it is. Like his first one that he did, he like, you know, told the guy like, oh man, I need to get, you know, like toward the end, like he said, oh man, I need to get out of like.
Are you?
No.
Antidote? No. Okay. Never mind.
Oh God, no, not them. Let's not talk about them.
Well, we actually had a suggestion. Someone contacted me and suggested we do a whole show on scam baiting, so it might be worth looking into.
Well, possibly. Yeah. We should add that to our pile.
Mm-hmm.
Did Droops die?
No, I'm back.
Yeah.
It's 419eater.com.
Yeah, it's at 419eater.com.
Oh, thank you. Oh, look at that. Droops, where did you go?
I don't know.
You don't know. His phone's screwed
up.
He
never knows.
Every time I push this button, like on the phone, it keeps hanging up. I don't know.
That's the hang up button.
Yeah,
it's
say
the red
for a
reason.
The phone
hanging on to the So, Droops, what have you been doing?
What's that?
What's your personal hacking story?
My personal hacking story? Well, other than, you know, like, the Gibson, which, you know, we all do. We've been working on Slacks and remastering it and adding stuff into it. And I'm, right now, like, as we speak, trying to make an asterisk module that actually works. And I have one that kind of works. And it doesn't work. I don't understand why it doesn't work on all the other different versions of Slacks except, like, the main one. It gives me an error if I try to put it in anything else. And
what's
I'm trying
the
to
error?
Figure that out.
Well, first off, for those of you who don't know, what is Slacks?
Oh, I'm sorry. Slacks is a... all right, this guy, really into Slackware, made some scripts called the Linux Live Scripts, which is at linux-live.org, and you install these boogers and run them, and it makes a live CD of your system. And he took that and started making Slacks, which is a live CD based on Slackware, and you can customize it to make it do cool things. Like, Slacks is in, like, the top 20, I want to say, on DistroWatch, and within the next 100, there's Wolfix, and I think that Backtrack is also on there now, and they're all based off of Slacks.
Is that our closing music going? I don't think the show was over already.
No, that was my phone in the background I turned off. My sidekick that I just painted black. It's cool.
Sweet.
Nice.
Ooh. Anyway, I've been trying to play with this. And as soon as we can make one that has an asterisk module, we'll have a live CD-based asterisk system. And people are saying, well, what the hell is the point of that? Well, it you don't have to install it. You can just kind of put it on a machine to demo it or play around with it. And with Slacks, they have this thing called webconfig that you can save your important config files on the Slacks website. And then when you boot the thing up, wherever computer you boot it up, you know, is your asterisk box all of a sudden. It's got all your config files. With your secrets intact.
Nice.
So, wait a minute. Which website are you saving this on?
You save it on the Slacks website. I wouldn't put my password on it, but I mean,
yeah,
your extensions.conf really isn't, you know, proprietary information.
I don't know what you have in your extensions.conf, but I do.
But it's not like a publicly accessible place. You have to have a username and password, so.
Because we all know how secure those are.
Yeah.
It limits the number of people that get to see it.
Down to, like, instead of 4.6 billion, it's down to, like, you know, 4.3.
Exactly.
Yeah. But whatever.
You and all the Nigerian scam artists.
I'm moving to 420.
And didn't you just release a beta for Pod?
Oh yeah, we released a beta for our Podfert Linux, which is like we're gonna write some tutorials and things for it, trying to set it apart. But mainly, it was just our test to see if we could make a really cool little distro, and it's for podcast creation because that's the new thing that people are doing, making these little radio shows.
And God, we want radio shows are so lame.
That'll never catch
on. We want them to use Linux while they're doing it. So we're making Podfert.
Now, where can
that
they send all
cool.
these small radio shows that they make themselves? Do you have any good places to send them, Droops?
You know, just go to infonomicon.org and read everything, and you'll probably find something.
Twat Radio.
Twat Radio? That's a good show.
Wow.
Boom right along.
I hated it. Can't stand it. It's lame.
Aren't you on that show, man?
I don't think so.
Both of us.
I've got to do one sometime soon.
Not this month.
it's kind of funny how Strom is neglected to do the twat.
Oh, God.
See, now, if there's a little like radio show called Cock, that's him.
Oh, yeah, all Strom all the time.
Woo! Strom! Yeah, lube, here we go.
Lube radio, there we go.
So much cool, like a... Strom, you had some type of personal hacking story that you wanted to say. I don't know what it is,
oh,
though.
Yes, I spent all of... Yesterday I decided finally that when CD Asterisk Box we recorded and produced the show on was kind of... The hard drive was getting full, and it was the first Linux server I ever set up, and I figured, maybe I should do it right this time. So I set up a new box, and I started... installing Astrosonic, and I finally got it working, and we're talking on it right now, but it was a major pain in the ass to get the streaming working again. I spent hours and hours agonizing over this, because I copied all the config files over, I installed all the same programs, everything should have worked, and it didn't, and I just banged my head into the wall for like 6 hours trying to figure this out, and then I solved my problem by making a symlink.
Okay, well, you got to explain what a symlink is for those people who don't know, like all eight of them.
A symlink is like a shortcut in Windows. It's one thing that points to another. What happened was, the technical detail is, the way the streaming works on our server is we have Asterisk that we all talk on, the MeetMe conference. Then there's an Asterisk plugin called ICES, which streams to an Icecast server. But the problem is that ICES only streams in Ogg Vorbis, and everyone listens in MP3. So I have to then, I stream to an Icecast server running on my Asterisk box, and then from there, I get the stream from my own Asterisk box, I have to transcode it, and then re-upload it to DDP Hack Radio. And so the problem is that the version of ICES that installs is ICES 2, and the ICES that Asterisk looks for is just called ICES. And so I had to symlink ICES to ICES 2 in order to get it to work. 6 hours
Yay.
Of banging my head into the wall for that.
LN-S.
Yes. IR test smart.
No, LN-S. Well, just to continue the reinstall theme here, I also reinstalled my server on Saturday. I mean, you all listened to it last week. Actually, my honeypot's down now. I need to reinstall that and, like, do, like, 15 bazillion other things. I actually had a problem with Asterisk this evening right before the show and going, no, work, and it mysteriously did, so I'm happy now. But, so I had to work out and do all that stuff and reinstall Debian on it, and it was kind of annoying, but... And it's still completely set up. Like, for example, if someone calls my house right now, like, for those of you who don't know, when you actually, you know, call my landline, my real person landline, and I don't have an answering machine, Asterisk actually does all my answering machine duties. I'm just that hardcore. I have Linux answering my phone. And actually, since I reinstalled, it doesn't actually do that anymore because I don't have the driver set up for it yet. And I need to do that. I should probably do that tonight. Because compiling your kernel is interesting with Debian and sources and Linux includes and all that wonderful stuff. But yes, I'm working. Asterisk is almost there, and I think everything else is fine as well. And everything seems to be working okay so far. Thank goodness. As I drop off the conference.
Yeah, we'll blame your new box instead of my new box.
Do we have any phone calls tonight, or are you even looking? Or?
Let me go take a look. I'll go grab.
I think Ponyboy's calling.
Yeah, supposedly Ponyboy's on the line. I'll go see if he's there. Why don't you
Ponyboy's
guys get started?
Sitting
yeah.
there forever.
Why don't you guys? Yeah, right. About InnerZone for the time being.
InnerZone. All right. So InnerZone was 2 weeks ago. We actually were going to do this last week, but I already committed to the radio show, so you guys got shoved to the side. Anyway.
That's okay.
How was InterZone?
Ziggy?
Droops, I think I have said quite a bit, and it is only fair that you have first dibs.
Well, thank you, my friend. InterZone is hard to describe. I think if I were to describe it best, I would just get Ziggy to do it.
All right, I guess I'm going to go ahead with this. InterZone.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning there, Ziggy. You actually wrote the gratuitous show notes for us. So, how was the trip up there? Where is InterZone? That's in Atlanta, correct?
It is in Atlanta, as far as I know. It's pretty close to Atlanta. I don't know if it's actually in the city of Atlanta,
well,
but it's definitely
general,
right.
Ponyboy, why don't you tell us where it is?
Yeah, it's actually located.
Oh, it's Ponyboy.
In...
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Hey, Ponyboy. I don't get a hi.
Oh yeah. Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, they just dropped me in here, didn't give me a warning very well, so I didn't know, but anyways, yeah.
Where is it?
It's somewhere...
It's in the
Atlanta
metro area. The Atlanta metropolitan area.
That'll work.
Oh, then...
I'm sorry,
okay,
boy. So where are you, Ziggy?
He fell off the conference.
Huh?
Ziggy fell off the conference?
No, Ponyboy fell off the conference.
Oh, poor Ponyboy. Well, it was quite a drive for me from Florida. And in the car were me, Logos X, we dragged Super KT along, and Logos' brother. It was a grand old time getting up there.
Is that her handle now?
What's up?
Is that her handle now?
Katie? Super KT?
Yeah. Super KT?
I think you'd have to ask her. She likes to you know, mix it up.
She actually has like 15 of them.
Hey, you know, you gotta be popular, right?
There he goes.
But, you know, I don't want to skip ahead to the end, but I'm just gonna say one thing about Logos. He definitely has the he's getting, from me at least, the gold medal for driving. Because we literally almost died. And Logos' slick driving skills are the only thing that saved us. He kind of drives like he's a grandmother, going like 80. But other than that... You know, his slick, he totally avoided, there was a car stopped in the middle of the highway for no reason, and he managed to get in between two SUVs without having a lane to go in. He was actually just driving on the white line that separates the lanes, and he somehow swerved, got in front of both cars, snuck between them, and it was totally slick. So if Logos is listening, excellent job driving. I'm glad that I'm still alive. That was awesome. But about the conference itself...
Well, Droops, where did you actually come from?
Droops.
Well, I drove in from Mississippi, and going across the great state of Alabama, they decided they would have some road construction signs with, like, no construction and police officers.
Ooh.
So we kind of got pulled over going really fast in a construction zone, and then my wife says, "Oh, shit, I don't have an insurance card in the car." And I said, "Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Jail time." And the state trooper comes up to the vehicle, and, you know, he's very friendly, just kind of calm and relaxed, which was very nice. Two people got pulled over, like me and some other guy. And I asked if I could get out because we'd been in the car for a long time, so that he and I walked behind the car, and he didn't see that my wife's inspection sticker was out. And give us a third ticket. So, let's see if I can find my court summons. I have to go to... For operating a vehicle without insurance and a speeding... Wonder if it says how fast I was going. It doesn't say, but it says it was in a construction zone, which in Alabama, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't
double
have to
fines.
Pay double if there's no workers.
Oh, really?
Like in Mississippi, it's only if workers are present. And then we saw a sign right after the guy pulled us over and we were driving along down the road that said only if workers are present. So he kind of dicked me over.
You could fight it.
Well, I wish Massachusetts would do that.
But anyway, good time to that.
Boy, getting up to Georgia was quite an experience through both of you there.
Yeah. We pull into Atlanta, and we have the GPS navigation going on, which really isn't that good on the PDA. And we kind of got a little turned off the wrong road. So we decided, oh, we'll just go across country, which you can do here, but in cities it seems that you can't because it's just a lot of stoplights. And we spent a lot of time in Atlanta trying to get across it. But there was like a police chase. We listened to it on the radio. They were chasing somebody.
That was me.
Oh, okay. It was a good time.
Dr. Zygmunt Logos and Katie in the middle of a white Bronco there, going down to Atlanta.
That's a scene.
And before I
on the roof.
Before I forget, I also want to give Logos a gold medal for driving. We all went out to eat. Ponyboy Logos is my wife and I, Mrs. Droops, Claire, as you want to call her. Logos and I were having a beer drinking contest of sorts where he pretty much drank two massive Mexican beers, like the big ones you get at the restaurant, before I drank my one. And then he's the one that drove home. He's like, I just
Logos
drank these beers real fast.
Holy cow. Me and Logos, man, we got to go get up. I hope he's going to Hope.
I think Logos will take you. Because Logos can drink.
He can drink his damn beer.
The good stuff. Guinness, he can handle it. I've seen him put four or five down and be like, yo, what's up? Can we do some shots? So, he's definitely
well, I don't know. I mean, I get drunk after four or five, but I'm always up for shots, you know?
Yeah, who isn't up for shots?
I could be crawling on the floor, you know, just after I puke my guts out and saying, yo, who's up for shots?
Which is actually, it's a great segue into what Interzone is really about.
Drinking!
That's right.
Is there a convention? Is there a hacker convention that's not about drinking?
Not that I know of.
I had two beers the whole time, other than we went out to a restaurant.
Hell, you should have seen a TourCon. Microsoft actually sponsored the bar the one night, so they gave us all drink tickets.
I already made that joke once, but you weren't allowed to share them?
Yeah, I forget.
I don't know who did that joke, but that was the best joke ever.
I made that joke.
Oh, you made that joke?
That's why I said it again.
Oh, okay. It was literally the best joke ever.
Nice.
So, anyway, so Interzone is all about drinking, eh?
No.
Well, that and having other cons in the same hotel, but...
Well, there were a lot of really interesting presentations also that went along at this Interzone. And, you know, if I could, I'm just going to talk about my favorite, and then if Droops wants to jump in and talk about one of his. But on the very first day I got there, we got there at like 7 in the morning.
Good
and
God.
I waited with bated breath for Coding 101, thinking, you know what, this is going to be great. I'm going to take Logos and Super KT down to it, and they're going to learn all about, you know, basics of C, et cetera, et cetera. No, Coding 101 was definitely some advanced C. A lot of it was PHP extensions, which is a really, really cool thing to do. But if you don't really have a good grasp of C and PHP, it's not going to make any sense. And the long story short is basically you can write your own PHP functions that are going to be compiled and actually become part of the site. So you can use it just like a regular PHP function. A couple of advantages of that, as the gentleman was talking about, was that it's faster. You know, it's already compiled. It's not going to have to be compiled as or scripted as it's going. Next is, you know, it's hidden. You know, even if you're just serving out PHP, it's always possible somebody could get access to the source code of the PHP somehow, so through some exploit. If it's already compiled in, it's going to be a lot more difficult for somebody to, you know, get in there. Perfect example of something that you would want hidden like that, let's say, we were talking about search engines. Let's talk about a ranking algorithm, you know? You don't want everybody to know exactly how it works because then people are going to be, you know, be able to best it. So that Coding 101 lecture, it was all day, too. It was two sessions by a very, very intelligent man. And, you know, if I'm sorry I don't remember his name, but He definitely has a lot of experience with it. And PHP
Richard.
Extensions. Was it Richard?
Richard something.
And he was a great guy as well. I had a chance to speak with him separately. But they also put out. He was showing us one of the tools. It's. I don't know if I really agreed with the tool because I think it's a bad idea to be copying pasting code. But it was something where you could type in a couple of words, highlight it, click OK in this box, and it would instantly paste code that was relevant to those words that you typed in. It's something that apparently has been around for a long time. People have been continually developing it. And something about a conference that's always nice is you can see things that you otherwise might not have been interested in or might not have seen. And that was my favorite talk of the entire thing, except for, of course, thanks, but we're not going to go there. But from there, you know, I just any conference is really going to have a great series of talks, and InnerZone is no exception to that rule.
Okay. So why don't we talk about the other talk in the 20
good,
minutes
good.
We have left.
Well, I went to a talk on how to kind of do some video editing. And
I heard the guy who did that was like a total noob and had no clue what he's talking about. And he's like released like some like brand new. Actually, yeah, we didn't talk about. We'll bring that up in announcements.
Droops is a noob at gmail.com.
Droops is a noob at gmail.com.
Yeah.
Zygmunt, you gave a talk, correct?
I did. I gave a presentation on quick and easy digital video editing. Droops was nice enough to erase the digital video editing part of the title. I just leave it as Dr. Zygmunt, quick and easy.
Oh, God, you could take that one totally the wrong way.
That was nice.
I think that's
at noon.
Droops also gave a presentation as well, along with Ponyboy, who was on the show a little bit ago. And that was on, why don't you tell us about that, Droops?
Well, they had a couple of extra spots they needed to fill for Sunday evening, and or Sunday afternoon. So they asked us, or I think Stinky volunteered us, to give a talk on something, and we decided we'd talk about Hacker Media. And if you listen to, I think it's today's TWAT episode, or tomorrow's TWAT episode, you'll be able to listen to the talk.
I didn't know.
So we talked about things and made some funny jokes, and then we had a big party at the end when everyone left. There was like 12 people in there. But whatever, it was a good time.
And Stank actually gave a presentation.
Big party, Mrs. Droops on the stripper pole?
What's that?
A big party, Mrs. Droops on the stripper pole?
Yeah, Mrs. Droops was on the stripper pole, and she was twirling around. Good time.
Seriously, if I ever see her like again, I'm gonna just get slapped. That or
yeah, because I tell her everything you say.
Oh God, I'm sorry.
I say, remember that quiet guy with just got playing with his phone? And she's like, which one?
Yeah, I mean, that really doesn't narrow it down. Technically, you could say the fat guy who was quiet and played with the phone. That would probably, you know, narrow it down to about 50%.
Really
but
the fat guy, black shirt, you know, had the phone, was quiet. Anyway.
So
what did you talk about? With, so,
don't forget about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was going to say Stank. So,
huh?
Stank's
well,
talk Stanky. was the
one on metadata, wasn't it?
Yes, it was on metadata, and it was very funny and very informative, and he got a lot of claps off of his.
Didn't he use a photo of you and I, Ratchet?
He did not actually use it.
Oh, he didn't? Okay, he was planning on it.
Well,
he had like a monkey spinning. I remember that.
Oh, well, why don't you tell him about the story about how they tracked down that kid?
Okay, well, Stinky had asked a couple of us, you know, if we could think of examples. And, like, the day he asked, I was reading, I don't know, probably Slashdot, and I found a perfect example for his talk. And there was this kid who has, like, a botnet, and he was interviewed by somebody and that was with the Associated Press. And he lived in, like, a mobile home across the street from a strip club in some little small town. And it was on Slashdot. Well, there was a photo of this guy that was all shady and mysterious looking. Well, the Associated Press embeds extra metadata in their pictures so they can help keep track of that kind of shit. And it narrowed it down to what town it was, and then the people on Slashdot figured out, oh, here's the strip club and the gas station and the used car lot that he talked about. So that's probably right where he lives. Here's a GPS, you know, a satellite photo of it.
Very, very glad. And this was somebody who was totally anonymous, apparently.
Yeah.
And
like,
just
the kid himself didn't get himself owned. It was because of the Associated Press. And, you know, he gave clues. Like, he was from a small town, had a southern accent. Shit like that.
He also said they had a lot of details about him. His favorite brand of cigarette, et cetera,
yeah.
et cetera.
What was his favorite brand of cigarette?
I think it was Marlboro.
Yeah, he was a Marlboro man.
Was it?
I think if you live in a trailer across the street from a strip club, you have to be a Marlboro man.
What about
so what you need to do is you need to go to the convenience store near the convenience store next to the strip club, and you need to watch for this white pasty kid who doesn't get much sun ordering Marlboros, who lives in a trailer,
who has a southern accent.
Now you go up to him and say, you just go up to him and say, "Owned, bitch!"
Well, see, if you were smart, you'd wait in the strip club because he's got all this available money from his botnet. And then you're just waiting in the strip club.
How would he make money from his botnet?
He sells, he puts advertising on people's computers.
Oh, that's dirty.
God,
yeah.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
Oh, he's a son of a bitch. You can whoop his ass.
At least we know where he lives.
Yeah, we know exactly where he lives. Anyway, that was a good, interesting part of Stinky's talk.
All right. Were there any other fun talks that were there besides Coding 101?
They had a lot of great talks. Personally, I didn't get a chance to attend a lot of them because I was knee-deep, actually not even knee-deep, I was in way over my head in the coding contest, their first annual programming contest of Interzone. So I get there, I'm all excited, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do some cool system programming, probably some cool Leap exploit or something cool, and I get there and it's a side-scrolling video game. And I have never coded anything with games ever in my entire life. The rule is you're not allowed to use any game engines or anything, so I bust out with SDL for C, which is the graphics and audio library, so you can make game sprites and stuff like that. So I had a firefighting game with perfect bitmaps. It was very cool. The guy walked around and he jumped. I didn't have enough time to finish it with like fire and stuff. It was like 1,500 lines of code. Spent the whole time working on it, didn't finish it, and some guy with 300 lines wrote it in... what was it? I'm going to pronounce it wrong. What is it? TCLTK or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Tickle? Yeah.
In that language.
Tickle. Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah,
Tickle?
He did it in 300 lines,
yep.
And I came in second. So, that was cool. Granted, there were only two participants, but that's not important. No, but they had a bunch of contests this year. They had two Capture the Flag contests. One was one that went on, like, for an extended period of time. And the other one was, I think it was a little bit more short term. And they were going to have a drunken coding contest as well, only that one I actually won.
Oh, yeah.
I did win that one, because I'm the only one who came.
You won by default.
Oh, that's so sad. I would have totally gone with that.
Jeez.
I would have brought my bottle of tequila and my laptop, and I would be happy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess everybody was doing their thing.
I would have violated my rule of never code drunk because I did code drunk once. I was working on like a homework assignment and I was, you know, I was drunk, but I wasn't like, you know, completely stumbling around drunk off my ass. And, you know, I was coding it and I was doing, oh yeah, this makes sense. And I went to bed that night and I woke up the next morning and I looked at all my code and I looked at it and said, what the hell was I doing? And I kept nothing from that night. Because it made no sense.
Did it compile?
Yeah.
It compiled, but it just didn't do anything. I didn't even know what the hell some of it did.
Oh, the voodoo programming. It's always fun.
Oh, yeah. I was like, man, it didn't do anything related to what I actually wanted to do.
Well, you know what's nice about a contest like that is that you actually get to... Like, I'd never done graphics before, and I don't think I ever would have naturally gone over and done it. But when somebody presents you, like at a conference, where somebody presents you with, like, here's the contest, give it a shot, no, it was interesting to take a look at graphics. You know, it kind of makes me miss my command line interface. But, yeah, it's always nice to try something new. And I think that's the real point behind a conference is to be exposed to things that you aren't ordinarily exposed to and give it a try. 100%.
So where'd you put your Firebend game?
I'm sorry?
Where'd you put your game? Is it up for download?
Oh, my game's not anywhere close to done. But I did exchange the source code. I do have a tarball of the source code. If somebody really wants it, they can... If that's the consensus, I'll put it on the forums. It's not that big a tarball. It has all the...
I really think you should. I think you should release it.
Hell yeah.
If nothing else, hell yeah. I mean, you know, you invested a weekend to do it, do it.
Well, you never know. I might finish it one day.
Huh.
And make $1 million.
Well, still open source. Yeah, just slap the term beta onto it, and everyone will be like, oh, no, it doesn't really matter. No one will expect it to work at all. And if it compiles, you'll be like, oh, wow, oh.
It totally compiles. The guy walks around and jumps. That's it, though. And there's music, but I don't have sound on my laptop.
What kind of laptop do you have, man?
Well, no, it's a newer laptop, so the Linux sound... This is a long story for the past, 9 months, we've been trying to get sound in Linux on my laptop.
Blah, blah, blah. An ancient Compaq 386 thing that has no sound card, no mouse, monochrome display, 8 megs of RAM.
Trackball.
Trackball on a laptop?
Oh, yes, yeah. They used to have this.
All the early laptops used to have trackballs before they had touchpads.
Oh, yeah?
God, I feel old now.
Hell yeah, no. The Compaq, I remember this one. There was the one that actually clipped onto the side of the laptop. There was this fancy trackball that clipped the whole side.
I remember that.
And it was like a semicircle, and you would it was kind of ergonomic. You had the button, and then there was like some other button, and you'd operate the ball with your thumb. Those were the shit, man.
So you were used to, you were good at that, huh?
Yeah.
Moving right along.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also went to a talk. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
We only have 7 minutes left, so let's wrap it up.
Oh, well, one more. We went to a talk that was this older fella had a beard and bald head. I can't remember what his name was. I was looking on the site, couldn't see it. But he had a tool that he added to a Bart's PE disk, and you put it in and you reboot the computer, and 2 or 3 minutes later it would say boom or bam or something, and then you restart the computer and you go away. And what that does is that, do you remember what I'm talking about, Ziggy?
Are you talking about the one who's replaced the onboard keyboard with a command shell? Yeah, that actually presentation was originally given at DEF CON, and he also made a tool. The long story short is he replaces the on-screen keyboard, which you can always open regardless of whether you are actually logged in, with the shell, and the shell would execute with system privileges, meaning that you basically are the total owner. And he also released the tool. He didn't give out the tool last time, but the tool allows you to usurp any other user.
Was this the bald guy, the guy with the sunglasses?
Yeah,
the insecure workstation too. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that guy knows his shit.
Yeah, definitely. He's a cool guy. And I always look forward. He always is very funny. He's an excellent presenter as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what we have to mention? How great Stank was in his walking abilities.
You got that in your notes there. Stank fell and nearly died, in all caps.
That's totally why. He was walking down the street. Okay, because, Stank has a saying, you can never get between a dog and his bone. So when Stank's hungry, there's no stopping him. And he could clearly see Piccadilly Cafeteria. So here he is, standing in the middle of the street, the light's about to change. He says, just run for it. So he starts running across the street, and right when he gets to the edge, he looks up at the light, sees that it's red, starts tripping up, and does a total face plant, and slides for a foot or two. Kind of stumbles back to his feet, all stunned. He's all cut up and bruised, so he's okay now, but it's funny in retrospect. You had to see it. It was very classic. Me and Pony Boy got to witness it. It was great.
And as soon as I put my pictures up, you'll be able to see all the rashes and strawberries or whatever they're called all over him.
But a speedy recovery we all wish to Stank, because I'm sure he's very lonely without being able to use his hands.
So you, LogoSack, Super Katie, Droops, Mr. Droops, Stank.
Pony
Boy. Who else was there? Pony Boy. Anybody else that we know?
Decius,
Wow.
I mean, there were a lot of people. Rocket, of course, let's just say that. A big thank you to Rocket, who puts on the event every year.
Oh, yeah.
Despite, some pressures. He doesn't exit, and the entire InterZone staff, where they were all absolutely excellent. And, you know, I wish we had time to say something about everybody, but they were definitely a great staff. And it's an excellent conference that is definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I got to say, Rocket is a cool guy. Stank introduced me to him at DEF CON, and he was really friendly, you know, came right up, shook my hand, talked to me, and we chatted for about, you know, a good 15 minutes of just how, you know, not theory was a noob, and it was pretty cool.
MySQL.
Was it not theory? Was it someone else? I think it was not theory. But yeah, not Rocket's definitely a cool guy. So yeah.
All right.
So
hey,
we
met a guy named Rick Dakan. Rick Dakan, I want to say, and he wrote a book called Geek Mafia, which is for free at his website. You can download the PDF, which is rickdakan.com. And I just read the book.
RICKDAKAN. DAKAN.com. Okay.
Yeah.
You'll give him a plug. It was a good book?
Yeah, it was. It's called Geek Mafia, but it's more about, like, con men kind of thing.
Mm.
It's set in present times. It kind of resembles truth. It's pretty good.
Sweet. All right. It looks like we are pretty much out of time. So, announcements, anyone?
Oh, we have unveiled Hack TV Underground. It's the brand new show from Binary Revolution. You should check it out, www.binrev.com/hacktv. It is the new show from Hack TV Underground. The first one's only a couple of minutes long. It explains the whole premise, the proof of concept for the show. And really, we want to get everybody to check it out and contribute so that we can get a nice, cool new show. I don't want to give away too many of the details because I want everybody to have to watch the 3-minute clip, you know. And it's got a couple of funny jokes in it, so it's not just me being boring, I promise. So check that out.
All right. I personally don't have any announcements, but Cy Pete in the IC channel is wondering if anyone in North Central Florida are going to spring break. So, for whatever that's worth.
who asked that?
Cy Pete in the IRC channel.
All right. Oh, yeah, IRC channel, irc.binrev, I'm sorry, irc.freenode.net, /binrev.
Yeah, we're on Freenode now.
You know. Yes, come on over.
Yay!
Shouts, Droops, do you have any shouts?
To everyone that is linked to from infonomicon.org.
Nice.
Boom. Right.
And especially Ponyboy for trying to come on the show.
Yeah.
For 30 seconds.
Yes, Ponyboy, I completely forgot about Ponyboy, I guess he had phone trouble.
No,
so.
I think that's my phone trouble, new answers box and all.
No, that sucks. Sorry, Ponyboy, maybe we'll have you on
next
later.
Week, definitely.
Or something. Let's hope he has something to talk about then. Zygmunt, do you have any shouts?
Quick shout to my traveling companion, Super KT, and Logos, and his brother, and of course all our BinRevers, and once again to the staff at InnerZone. It was an excellent conference. We'll see everybody again next year.
Locus X with elite driving skills. Strom, do you have any shouts?
Shouts to Mark Spencer. Mark has made my day.
Aww. Did he send you flowers?
No. Not quite.
Not quite. I don't think I have any shouts, actually. Shouts to Stank Dog for giving a very cool presentation and hacksawing people who own botnets or something. And shouts to Dr. Zygmunt and Droops for coming on tonight. Thank you very much,
thanks,
guys.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, shouts to you.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, our closing music tonight is...
Is it Strom singing something?
No, it's the... I think it's like the Star Fox...
You didn't even know what the hell
it's
called.
Yeah, it's from OG Remix. It's the Space Cowboys remix from Star Fox.
Can you sing
it? I don't know the tune. But it sounded cool, so I downloaded it.
All right. So, if there's nothing else... email. Email is radio@binrev.com. Completely forgot to say that. As always, it's radio@binrev.com. Email us. Actually, email's starting to become an issue. We're starting to get a lot of spam. Like, you know, half our messages this week were spam. I was very disappointed. So, just go ahead and email us or whatever. And as always, we will see you next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.